boy, I'm looking at some of these opening day totals here, and I'm looking at, boy, how excited I was for the Mets season. Their win total, by the way, was 90.5, Jensen. I don't think they're going to get there. Do you agree with that assessment?
No. Yeah, they're nowhere close to it. this is something we're going to do here moving into the All-Star break next week. So we'll break down a division each day, obviously today, and then all 5 days next week. I know you'll be on vacation, but Mark Malus is joining us all next week, leading us into the end of the first half of the season. Dave, I wanted to start with the NL East, obviously, because of your favorite team. It has not been the year that Steve Cohen and company thought it would be. That being said, always great to do these audits right around the All-Star break of what we saw before the season started, and is there present value in maybe some of these division odds. So we begin with the National League East. You and I have made mention the last week or so that the Phillies have been hard charging here and have closed the gap on the Atlanta Braves significantly, so much so that it actually is reminiscent and even a bit shorter, Dave, of what their preseason price. The Phillies were plus $1.80 to win the National League East before the season started. They're right at plus $1.35. They enter play today just 2.5 games behind the Atlanta Braves. Winners of 7 of their last 10, Dave, and they have really started to round into form on the pitching side, getting Zach Wheeler back to go along with Christopher Sanchez, Jesus Luzardo. Back in their bullpen has been really good, and the offense is now starting to surge. I wanted to steer your attention to two teams, and the Atlanta Braves, let's start there, because they've dealt with their fair share of injuries. They have lost 8 of their last 10. Not that I would look at them leaking oil and kind of feel, I don't know if I want to get invested here. They are getting some reinforcements, particularly in their rotation back. Just got Hurston Waldrop back yesterday. Spencer Schwellenbach could be on the horizon here in the second half. And, of course, still without Ronald Acuña Jr., you're trying to find a way to get some of your big studs back. Would you be interested, knowing that they're spring training number of 86.5 wins and plus +250 to win the National League East. They are currently projected for 91 total wins, that via Fangraphs. $1.60 favorite. Would you rather play an alternate win total right now, or would you still be investing in the Braves to secure this National League East division title?
I don't know that I would be, Jensen. I do look at the Phillies right now at plus $1.35, and if you made me wager one way or the other, as much as I, again, never admit this in court of law, I'd have to take the Phillies at that short plus money price. Now, Preston Mattingly, yes, the GM is the son of the current manager, Don Mattingly, there in Philadelphia, comes from the Dave Dombrowski school, obviously, right? So I look at Preston now as the young GM, if you will, kind of on the spot here. What are you going to do at the trade deadline with this older team that they have? I have to imagine, and we'll find out if there's going to be a counter here from the ATL before the trade deadline. I feel like we've got a Cold War arms race scenario that could be building, right? And so what team out of those top two in the National League East would I trust more? I'm going to look at Mattingly's plural with the Phillies to get more reinforcements on a team that I think is already pretty stocked, certainly with starting pitching, maybe could use some help in the back end of the bullpen. Everybody could use that this time of year. There are teams out there that you could go pilfer, a setup guy and or closer if you really want to go that route. Jensen, I think Philadelphia, because they know that this is an older group, that the core of it will not look the same in 2 years, and we know the landscape of Major League Baseball could be changing in general anyway, I would double down on the Mattingly's pearl here at plus $1.35. Phillies would be the bet that I would make right now. Not to fade the Braves necessarily, but I just think in this arms race, I'm going to trust Philadelphia to spend, and spend more. They wanted to spend on Bo Bichette before the year began, and they couldn't get Bo. And he went to New York. I think now that's money that they look at and go, oh, we saved some of that? Let's go spend it now before the trade deadline.
Okay, interesting. I know you already have a ticket on Miami at upwards of 7-1 plus +750 to make the postseason. I got to tell you, 30-1 keeps staring at me that I didn't think previously, and I'll explain why I think it might be worth a little pizza money. Dave, they're 5.5 out right now of the top spot in the division. They are 28-17 at home. Only the Milwaukee Brewers have more home wins in the National League than the Miami Marlins. Now, they're 7 games under 500 away from South Beach. They're plus 11 in the run differential. And I actually believe that there's more in the tank with this team. Now, by no means am I telling you to go crazy in betting the Marlins to win the National League East. But, Dave, I can't get away from looking at an offense that is top 10 in average and on base. They are the number one team in Major League Baseball in stolen bases. Their back end of the bullpen is way better than I think people realize. They have the third lowest whip. They have the lowest hits per nine rate allowed and the second lowest homers per nine. That's their bullpen. Now, at the beginning of the year, I would have told you I would bank on this rotation being absolutely dominant with the arms, the way Sandy Alcantara looked to finish last year, and he has been still really good this year. They got Yuri Perez back from injury. Max Meyer, I think I had a viewer send a post on social media and say, hey, 100-1 for Max Meyer on the Cy Young side. And I said, I can see where you're going, but a lot of big names that he'd have to leapfrog, particularly in that future market. I like it. He'd have to continue the dominance, and you would need Christopher Sanchez to fall on his face. Jacob Mizorowski, who gave up 5 runs yesterday, you would need sustained issues with the guys in front of Max Meyer. I don't hate it, but it certainly wouldn't be any more than maybe a bonus bet, and that would be as far as I would go. So I wanted to kind of bring the Marlins to your attention because I know you've already identified them as a postseason wager, period.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't shy away from maybe getting a little bit, just a little bit, of the Marlins at 30-1. They're going to be active at the deadline. Peter Hendricks has really been lethal at exacting a lot of ROI out of this young roster. The offense needs power. If they could get a power bat in the middle of that lineup, that answers a big question mark for them. That is an attractive price to me. As long shot as it looks, I still think it's worth having just a little investment on the Marlins in that National League East division race.
Well, you answered my question because you must have known that that was the question I was going to ask, which is what do you think they would actually need in the middle of that lineup? But you're right, it would be a power bat, right? So it feels like the Marlins are that type of team that when they're in contention, which is rare, we get it, and they're dealing with different financial constraints, at least down there, at least that's what they tell you, versus the big clubs every year. But that when they feel like they're in it, they will actually go spend. I go back to, say, Milwaukee years ago when they got CC Sabathia and they made the playoff push there to go get a rental. You think it'd be that type of deal? That would be like, all right, we know we're not going to keep X player, whatever it might be, but we'll get him for this stretch run and salvage a little bit of our future so that we can really push some chips in here for this year. Because you're right. I think the glaring need for the Marlins is power in the middle of that lineup.
God, if Eugenio Suarez had been hitting well for the Reds, that is exactly the kind of short-term bat. It's on a one-year deal. It would be prorated for the Marlins. It fits all the boxes that they would need. It's right-handed power. Javier Sano has been playing third for them. But you find, like I said, if Gino was swinging it, you put him in the middle of Otto Lopez and Kyle Stowers, the way Liam Hicks has been swinging it, Xavier Edwards. Now it looks a bit more formidable, but anxious to see what they do in the coming weeks.
We're going to have Jim Duquette, a former GM, join the program in the next hour. I'm sure Jim would get those type of calls around this time of year, every year here. What do you do here with some of these teams as we start to turn to the second half of the year? What's coming up on this 4th of July? Just about everything in the sporting world. We'll discuss that next right here on VSiN by the Books.